Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 153. This is Kevin DeFrango. Sitting beside me is Ken Phillips. What is going on, good sir?
Well, not much. Back together again on our Wednesday night record session. I don't know. After the holidays, I think things have gotten back into rhythm again.
Things can normalize again a little bit. That whole month of December is a little bonkers. You throw in, because we end up shopping both for Thankmas and for Christmas. Like, we kind of break up our shopping purposely because we have two different time periods to shop.
Right.
But it's still a lot of shopping.
Yeah, we have actually a similar situation. We have usually gotten together after Christmas with my side of the family and done like a gift exchange. So we're actually heading there this weekend to do that.
You know, we were at a bar the other day and, it wasn't the bar. It was Villanova, the fine Italian restaurant in northern Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
Completely sure where you'd call that. Because it's north of Clintonville and even Beechwald. Like, they're kind of... But I don't feel like it's Worthington.
Yeah, it's kind of on the edge there of Worthington.
Yeah. But anyway, we saw some people bringing in Christmas gifts. Like, the family must have been getting together at Villanova. And still doing Christmas. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. There's still some people out there ready to do some Christmas. I mean, you know, it's life comes at you in funny ways.
Well, I'm personally an advocate of extending holidays, especially Christmas, because, you know, Christmas is over. It's, you know, it falls on the darkest time of the year, if you will, when the days are shortest, the daylight is shortest.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to like boost your mood, I think, you know, like, give you, some hope that, the light is coming. The literal sun is coming back into the world, you know?
Days are finally starting to get a little bit longer, at least.
But it takes a long time, right?
It's crazy. It is pretty interesting. Like, I do remember when I was in Ireland, which is a much further north latitude, like it was one of those times where it was like 18 hours of sunlight or something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. And it was only 6 hours of dusk. I was like, holy smokes, this is a lot of daylight. Why is it 11 p.m. and it's still like broad daylight out?
Yeah, I would have a problem with that. That would be tough for me.
Yeah,
do people have like thick curtains there? Is that
I don't know. I guess there are blackout curtains, but I could have slept through anything. I don't know. I don't really have much of a problem of sleeping even in the daylight, so I'm not really the right person to ask. I do like the blackout curtains, honestly, that we bought recently. I'm not sure that they would have had blackout curtains per se at that time.
Yeah, I'd say I've become a little more sensitive to light as I've gotten older. And I used to make fun of my wife when we were first together because she was like so particular about lights that like even like a printer light that was on in her room or something like that, like a little LED light, she would have to like cover it up with something because it would prevent her from sleeping. But I haven't quite got that bad, but although some really bright ones might actually bother me if it was like, because there are some strangely bright LED lights at times.
It does bother me a little bit when we go to my parents' place now. I love sleeping in the basement because it's the darkest room, but all of my dad's computers are down there. And
how many computers does your dad have?
Well, he has their printer down there, and I think he has two computers down there. I think he has a laptop and a desktop.
Okay. I was just imagining some kind of Batman lair down there.
No, it's not quite Batman lair layer of technology. I mean, my parents are still considering getting a smartphone.
They're weighing their options.
Maybe going to commit to it finally.
See, my mom has had one for a while, but my dad will never in a million years get one, I don't think.
I think that's what amuses me. I want to see my father working one. Like, the amusement that I will get from his frustration will be worth the price.
Yeah, I don't know. It's strange, like, concepts like tapping are completely foreign, it seems like. Like, I was trying to show my dad how to, like, play different music, you know, on, like, Spotify or something. Uh-huh. And it just was not connected.
Not translating?
No.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so your dad may be having some trouble. I don't know.
Yeah, there might be some issues. But good thing that I'm not tech support. I am never called for tech support questions. That is left up to my brother-in-law and my brother, my older brother, since he is indeed into the software end of things.
Right. You never want people to know that you're, you know what you're doing around computers or technology, because they will end up calling you for all kinds of things.
Yep.
I made the mistake of being known for that at some times. And there was an occasion where I had to switch out somebody's hard drive in their computer while I was visiting family. And, you know, that nobody wants to do that, really, Kevin.
No, does not sound like fun. I guess I'm used to doing some level of work when I go back to my parents' house, though, now. Because it's just like, oh, we don't really do breakfast, so if you want breakfast, it's up to you. My parents are not breakfast people. It's kind of funny. I don't know why I'm a breakfast person.
Well, it was really drilled into our heads growing up, I think, that it's the most important meal of the day. Whether that's true or not, I think is debatable.
Yeah, it. There are a lot of people thinking that breakfast is a terrible idea. And I've got to admit, I don't actually normally eat breakfast until later in the morning. Like, it is not a 7 a.m. thing for me. It's more of like a 9 a.m. thing.
Mm.
Definitely during the weekdays, it's after the gym. And on the weekends, it's usually still around 9, 10 o'clock.
You know, on the subject of breakfast, I was doing some random research. Oh, it was probably a month ago at this point, at least. But apparently, second breakfast really is a thing, or in some parts of the world, or even elevensies. I was blown away that this could be a thing in, like, you know, traditional societies in different places. But apparently so. And there was even, like, associated, you know, food that they would have, like, with that meal. It just... it seems odd that you would actually have meals so closely together, but maybe that's actually, I remember people saying that it's actually more healthy to have a lot of meals than to kind of eat big meals all at once.
Well, I've seen pro and anti big meal, small meal thing. I do think that the small meal thing helps you gain better portion control. And then I think you can kind of step back to doing, the regular kind of meal structure that, you know, you just need to take in the right calories is, essentially what it comes down to, which is why we're drinking beer. These are the right calories.
These are the calories we're looking for.
These build muscles.
Yeah. Well, that's, I've got muscles over here to show for it, for sure. But, yeah.
you know, there is someone that I'm going to assume does not drink a whole lot of beer, Ken.
Who's that?
And that is a man whose name is Kippagee, and I was trying to grab the first name here before talking about it.
Oh, right. I think I remember reading an article about this guy.
Yes, Ulid Kippagee. It's an article from the Atlantic, which we borrow from quite frequently. He ended up running a sub-2-hour marathon.
Yeah. So that is a, you know,
pretty, at least that is the headline.
Yeah, that he did run 26.2 miles in under 2 hours.
Yes, he did actually do that, but he also had a lot of help. He had a evidently some new prototype shoe from Nike built just for marathoners, which supposedly helps cut down on marathoners' times.
Yeah, they did apparently do a study that found that it lowered times for running. So perhaps the first time that people could actually say that the shoes made a difference, you know, in a rigorous kind of way.
Yeah, so that was
only part of it, though.
Yeah, that was one component. They mentioned that there were 7 other runners that were with him that formed, as they called it, think of the Mighty Ducks Flying V, but in reverse formation. So I'm guessing that there was a man in the middle, and he was just behind that person. And that the V went radiated out away from Kippagee.
Huh.
That seems to be what they're saying to me, which makes sense because then the air path is going around him more.
So
they don't really, I don't feel like the article has a good picture of the V formation working. Because the only picture that I see with them in it are them cheering him on.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
You're trying to pull up some technology here.
Yeah, I'm going to a video evidence here of the Mighty Ducks Flying V formation just to.
Well, they come at you like a spear with the person, you know, who's at the head, you know, front and center. And then you have your two wingers and then your two defensemen in like a V formation.
Is this an actual play that teams will play, do in actual, you know, in hockey games? Or is this purely Disney magic, Kevin?
Not 5 people like that. They do use kind of wedging tactics like this to gain upper hands.
He's circling with the puck.
Yeah, you are. I thought they pulled this out in a special play. Like, this is like the beginning of the game. Are we going to watch the whole Mighty Ducks game? I'm not sure the last time.
This is it, isn't it? Oh, there it is.
Oh, there it is.
So, okay, that is more what I was thinking was happening with kind of the players. You know, like you would see ducks in the sky or geese in the sky flying with kind of a lead person and the others kind of tapered behind to the sides.
Yeah, well, I'm just going by what the description.
No, clearly. And I feel like that's...
that's what the writers say. I'm putting this one on the writers. because to me, the Mighty Ducks Flying V would make the most amount of sense.
That's what I was thinking,
you know, because
it reminds me of like the a peloton of riders, you know, in bicycling, breaking the wind for their you know, rider that comes behind them. But I don't know. Interesting that it's reversed. I would like to have known more about that aspect. I suppose, like, it seems counterintuitive
because they said that some some scientist helped figure out the best formation to prevent wind drag. Which, you know, that's kind of the level that they went to try and... Now, the guy still did physically run 26.2 miles in under 2 hours. Like, not anyone can just haul ass like that, even in... Oh, and the other thing that I guess is probably obvious to me is that the course was very flat.
The course was flat. That was the other, another, I guess, advantage. And another reason that this was not counted as an official world record.
Oh, right.
Because it was not, quote unquote, a marathon.
Yeah, because there were no other participants.
No, like, other participants.
Because the other people were that were running with him were... It sounded like they were rotating out runners to keep them fresh.
Right.
Oh, and they were also... they had a cyclist feeding him his favorite course snack along the way.
Right, and bringing his favorite drink, I believe.
Yeah.
As he was running, he could just, whenever he wanted, kind of drink.
Yeah, drink so, and or eat. So, yeah.
The article, I think, described it as the closest thing you can get to a marathon, a spa experience for marathoners.
Yeah, and, except you're still, you're doing, what was it, 4.5 minute mile?
Yeah, for 26 miles. I mean,
yeah, that's the one part where you're just like, yeah, that's still impressive.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, despite all of the engineering of the run, like, yeah, not just anyone. In this, this guy has already won. He's won Olympic gold. He's won a number of city marathons, which is not terribly surprising. You know, they didn't just pick this guy because he was some...
Sure.
That was one part of the article that kind of made me laugh. Like, yeah, of course they're not going to pick some chump to do this, you know? Like, of course this guy's going to have a bunch of credentials. They're not going to grab some no-name guy. They're not going to grab you or I to try and run a sub-2-hour marathon.
Now, those would be really good shoes, Kevin, if that was the case.
Yeah, the shoes would really impress me then.
But no, that he was within 2 minutes, I think, of a 2-hour marathon anyway, and that's why they chose him to be the one to make the push with here to actually get the under 2-hour marathon.
Yeah, and it does make a lot of sense that just in the sense of there's still going to be some traffic. Like, there's some type of obstacle for you, like, in any marathon. Like, unless you're the very first person out in line to run it, like, there's going to be some instances where you've got to maybe not have your maximum pace going. And I would think that this would be able to, you know, maximize the time that you're at your maximum pace too.
Right.
You know, just because, you know, natural obstacles, I think, will slow you up. And he did not have any of those natural obstacles.
Sometimes weather can be a obstacle when you're running a marathon as well. And they also accounted for that by having an 8-day window where they were going to be able to run the race or race.
Event.
Do the run, yes. So they chose the particular day with the best weather, which I guess, I don't think I've ever heard of that before for anything, which makes sense, I guess, because this is just one person that they really have to worry about. Like, if you were trying to coordinate, like, a huge marathon, you couldn't say, like, it's going to be sometime within an 8-day window.
Oh,
And we're just going to pick the best day that week or something.
All of the hotels would be like, yeah, we'll just leave those rooms for one night for an 8-day block. Sure.
Cool.
Yeah. I could just see the hotels just freaking out about something like that. But yeah, when you just have like a small team of runners housed up in, you know, a few hotel rooms, you can afford to shuck out the extra couple of dollars to pay for their lodging should you have to wait the full 8 days.
Yeah, I mean, it's a expensive proposition, but the whole thing sounds kind of expensive to me.
So. Yeah, and they did mention that it was bankrolled by one of Great Britain's richest people.
There you go. If you're one of Britain's richest people and you want to have a sub-2-hour marathon, I guess the moral of the story is that you can just go ahead and do that.
Yeah, and I mean...
If you have an amazing runner, I should
and,
say.
Yeah, and I still... You know, you can't blame Kipagee either. Like, I'm sure that guy was getting paid quite well to participate in this thing.
Well, I would hope so.
So, like, yes? Like, yeah, I understand why it's not a world record. Still impressive. Yeah. And it's pretty crazy. And I guess maybe I'll pay attention to a marathon if I know that he's in it again.
Yeah, I can remember, I think it was like the 2004 Olympics. I remember actually watching a marathon, and it was more watchable than I thought it would be for such a kind of long event. I mean, I was not like, I might have been hungover actually, so that could have been, that could have helped my sort of watching of it all.
You know, after at least walking a half marathon, maybe I have a little more appreciation of the whole situation. I still think it's a little bit crazy. I don't feel like I need to be able to run 26.2 miles at any point in time.
No.
I do not mind. I do run in the gym some. I do not need to do 26.2 miles. Like, that's still not something that I really feel like needs to be attained. You know, a couple miles at a time is fine by me.
It seems like you're really pushing your body a little too hard in terms of like doing damage, which, you know, that seems like the opposite of fitness to me, Kevin.
Yeah, that's part of it to me. Like, that seems like there's a little too much damage being involved in these types of scenarios. And that doesn't seem like a smart use of my one and only body that I get.
It seemed like there's a lot of people doing marathons there for a while, but maybe that's cooled off a little bit. I'm not sure. That could
be. I think it's because all of us are too old now. Oh. They went through it in their 30s. Although one of them is still doing it. I mean, our friend Joe, he I think he started when he turned 30 and hasn't stopped now. It's been a while, and he seems to do a pretty good job. I think he's only had one injury along the way.
Yeah, he did seem to enjoy running from what I, well, even when we were in Pittsburgh, I think he was running that day.
Oh yeah.
So,
cause we weren't too far out from the marathon, I don't think. Oh, or yeah. Like he runs so many different marathons like that, that I guess I wouldn't be surprised if he was in training and he needed to kind of keep up.
A race that I've been looking into a little bit is Formula One racing. I don't know, Kevin, if you're very familiar with that. Apparently that's big in Italy. I don't know if when you were over there was any mention of Formula One.
No, I do not remember the Formula One being popular. I do remember Fiorentina, the soccer team, being quite popular, and I did attend a number of bar parties with Fiorentina fans, because why not?
I mean, why not, I guess, yeah.
You celebrate with the locals, man. That's the way to whoop it up.
When in Florence,
party with the Florentines. That's my suggestion. If you go over there for school, party with the Florentines. It's worth it. I don't think Fiorentina is quite as good as they were back in the day when I was there. Which, although they've had some good seasons recently. Yeah, not having that great of a season this year, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was, speaking of the marathon and all the optimization that goes into that, I was watching some YouTube video about the pit crews and, like, how they're in Formula One, they're able to change a tire in, like, 2 seconds, all four tires, and it's completely insane.
Yeah, that's, I think I've seen that, and, it's pretty impressive. And they also have some pretty cool guns to really help get those bolts on and off quite quickly.
Right. And the bolts they use, like, have, like, so many different, it's not like a regular hexagon. There's, like, many more sides to it, really. So that they're able to, like, quickly, because there's fewer ways that it could be not on, if you will.
Oh.
So it, like, lets them, like, get it on, like, real fast and start turning it.
Oh, huh. I had no idea that was the case. So that's pretty cool.
Like, some stuff like that is, like, pretty new. And, like, the jacks that they have, that they're able to, like, lift it and put it down so fast. That's crazy. There's, like, a guy who's, like, only job is to, like, look to make sure everybody else is done, and then, like, light a green light to tell the driver to go.
Oh, wow. They have some very specific jobs. Yeah, I have not watched. The old neighbor, Fred, used to watch a lot of racing in general, and Formula One was on the list.
Right. And,
I guess I do appreciate it a little bit, because I feel like they do amorphous courses.
Yeah. Yeah, that it's not just like going around a track again and again, a la NASCAR.
Right.
They're actually driving on similar to like surface streets a lot of times, it seems like to me.
Yeah.
Obviously like blocked off, but you're traveling like, you know, you're making left turns and right turns, kind of going up and downhill at times. So it's a more natural driving experience, I would say.
Agreed.
And I think the cars are like much more optimized for speed.
Yeah, those things are pretty bonkers.
So to me, if I was going to watch racing, which, you know, to be fair, I don't very often, but I would much sooner stop and watch a Formula One race if I was just kind of channel surfing than a NASCAR race.
Yeah, that makes sense. That reads for me.
Okay. Then we have reached an accord.
Yeah, well, I don't know where to go with that one.
Well, I mean, there was also another sporting event, I suppose, that we...
Well, you were talking about the Olympics.
Oh, well, I don't think we ever got to one of the other topics that we had discussed.
Yeah, that is true.
We thought we were done, but somehow they pulled us back in, Kevin.
Yeah, the National Football League always finds a way to... well, I'll tell you what. It is the one sport that my wife will let me just put on the TV and I can watch it in peace. She's kind of annoyed when I have hockey on all the time. But when there's football on, she's good to go. So I do watch a lot of NFL football for those reasons. I myself enjoyed the Tennessee Titans. Not only now did they vanquish the New England Patriots, they did the same to the Baltimore Ravens. Which just, it puts a smile on my face, Ken. It couldn't happen to two better teams.
Who would have guessed the Titans would be our avenging angels this season, Kevin?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem possible.
As I said on ye olde Twitter, I'm not sure what to think of this. When I saw the Steve McNair highlights, It brought me back to the day that it was the Houston Oilers. You know, I have the long memory, and I remember those days, and even the Tennessee Oilers.
Well, they were division rivals with the Steelers back then.
I started to go, ah, man, I think I want Tennessee to lose now because they did all the dirty work, but fuck them. They're the old Houston team. I turned on them in a heartbeat.
You would befriend them just to stab them in the back.
Yeah, it's like the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And they were my friend for some kind of negative
transitive property there. They were your friend. But then that ended.
Yeah, this accord has been, cashed out.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I would probably still be rooting for them, too. In some weird way, it would make me feel better about the Steelers having lost to them in the regular season. You know, obviously, if they go on to win a Super Bowl, that doesn't seem like a bad loss.
Well, I don't think they played Tennessee.
Didn't they? I thought that was one of the games they lost to. Or one of the teams they lost to.
I don't think so.
Well, there goes part of my theory then. Might have to go back to the drawing board.
Because I think the only team they played from their division was Indianapolis for some reason. I don't remember them playing the Texans during the season.
I mean, could it have been like a random game?
Well, I thought Indianapolis was the one rando game. So it'd be kind of interesting if they came from the same division. Because I feel like they usually come from not the division you're playing and not from the same division. Because there's four divisions. So the division that you're in, you don't play a third game. And then you play another division. And then you have two conference opponents.
Oh, yeah. No, they played them in the preseason, but I don't know why I would think that.
Does not count.
No.
Even if the Steelers, I feel like they had a pretty good preseason. They might have won in the preseason, to be honest with you.
No, well, I don't. Clearly, I was mistaken. But I don't know. I guess I don't have that bad of a memory of the old Houston Oilers. It's back in those days, definitely, I remember the Browns being kind of a main rival for the Steelers.
I think maybe it was right when they moved to Tennessee, when they were a really... Because that's when Jeff Fisher was there.
Mr. Mullen himself.
Yes. And they had a lot of very good teams. I mean, they had Eddie George at one point, and they did have Steve McNair, who was there for quite a while. And I feel like your boy Kerry Collins did some winning there. The old Penn Stater at some juncture in his career.
Yeah, I think he did have some good seasons there.
So, there were some... I think those are the years, really. Maybe it really wasn't the Houston Oilers, just because the Steelers were kind of terrible at that time. Like, when we were growing up, for the most part, they were pretty terrible until Cowher came around.
Yeah, that's fair to say. And even some Cowher years, they weren't always great.
So. Because that was another one that they were talking about Tomlin being on the path to getting into the Hall of Fame since Bill Cowher was just elected to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, and they did him and Jimmy Johnson on their respective shows this week.
Wait, they did Cowher and Jimmy Johnson?
Cowher's on CBS, so they had the guy from Canton come out and tell him in person that he was getting into the Hall of Fame.
On the show?
On the show.
Oh, well, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Just for like good, broadcasting, I guess. Good content.
Yeah, they wanted the TV. And I mean, because they ended up having, because they CBS must have known, because his wife or his second wife and his daughter, his one of his daughters was there to congratulate him after it was over.
Huh.
And then they did it for Jimmy Johnson the following day during Fox's game. And Troy Aikman was in the booth, and he was shedding a tear that Jimmy Johnson was getting in. Like, I was kind of surprised in some ways that Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher were getting in at the same time. But sometimes I block out the Jimmy Johnson Miami Dolphin years.
No.
It really did not go as well as the Jimmy Johnson in Dallas years.
Yeah, I guess that's true, because I forget about those too.
I don't know if he was downright terrible. I don't think things went as well as he would have wanted, though.
I can remember not wanting to play against him when he was coach of the Cowboys. I feel like he was a good, pretty good coach then, for sure.
Yeah, well, and that was the one thing I always did remember was that Cowher lost to Barry Switzer. That was not Jimmy Johnson in the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson had moved to, either retired or moved to Miami. I can't remember if he retired and then Miami got him out of retirement, or because he got the GM job in Miami, he went there after those two championships in Dallas.
Well, so if you're not going to be rooting for the Titans here the rest of the way out, Kevin, do you have a team you're going to have a rooting interest in, or are you just going to sort of look eye this, you know, academically the rest of these games?
Oh, yeah. I don't really care in a lot of ways. I mean, I guess there's always a little bit of a soft spot for the San Francisco 49ers since I did grow up a Joe Montana fan. So they're, but I don't really particularly care about them these days. Like, I know that I still kind of pay attention to, childhood, co-team, the Vancouver Canucks, somewhat in hockey. I can't devote my full attention, but you know, on the scale of what I look at and what I don't, I definitely pay more attention to them than a lot of other things.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, and all other childhood favorites, including the Penguins and Steelers. I mean, that's the whole reason you're into sports, you know.
Well, yeah. There was always, I always had the rule that I'd root for someone from the other conference.
Oh, interesting.
In sports. So that's why I picked up Vancouver, because I liked the uniforms and I liked Pavel Bure at the time. But, I mean, it's not like I didn't like Jaromir Jagr and Mario Lemieux at the same time.
Right.
But
you didn't have to really worry about them playing against each other very often.
No. No, they played against each other rarely. You know, it was like once or you know, maybe a home and home series for the season. So yeah, there was not much interaction between the teams. And I remember I used to like the Brewers in baseball when they were in the American League and not in the same division as the Pirates. Because that's the Pirates have lost the New York Mets is an adversary, and they lost the Philadelphia Phillies too.
How so?
They are in the other division in the East.
They had a realignment at some point.
Yeah, they had a realignment at some juncture. Because they used to be in a larger division. I want to say. Because I think it's six teams apiece. I'm going to say 6, 6, 18, 36. Yeah, I think it's 36 teams. They think there's three divisions with eight teams apiece.
I know very little about baseball. I'm not going to be much help here.
Yeah, I'm probably wrong right now.
Wonderful. Well, that's the kind of guarantees you're going to be getting as far as our information around here. You know, another, well, I don't know. It's really not related at all, Kevin, but...
No, not... If whichever way you go, it is not related at all.
But we've probably seen some information about the wildfires that have been happening in Australia recently.
Oh, it looks like three divisions of five.
Three divisions of five.
I was way off.
So that's 15.
Okay. Yeah. Yep, 30. I guess I thought every league had 32 teams, but I'm incorrect.
For some reason, I thought baseball had more teams than that, but I guess that's... can't argue with the facts.
Yeah.
So, I think one reason...
back to the wildfires.
Yeah. One reason that the fires have been so deadly, and I think, you know, the statistic was that maybe 500... million animals died in these fires.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've got to admit, I have not... I've seen some of it from... there are a lot of wrestlers in the WWE that are from Australia originally that have been asking for help.
Yeah. I don't know if we have a link that we will share, possibly, if a...
I believe they were directing things to the Red Cross for Australian rescue efforts.
Okay.
And that's why it was kind of interesting. Out of that that tragedy, one of my friends, Michelle, knows of my love of wombats. I believe that they also gained quite a bit of notoriety in our circles for Magic the Gathering purposes.
Oh, there was a Rabid Wombat card, if I remember.
Yes, the Rabid Wombat was quite popular. And I feel like I had a fascination with marsupials before that, but that one certainly helped lock things in.
Yeah, that is a thing about Australia is that it's home to a lot of creatures that are endemic to Australia. I mean, like, they don't exist in other places. So it's really a shame what's been happening there with the fires.
Yeah.
Since it's been more animals kind of forced to live in a smaller area due to, like, you know, developing and things like that. And that's kind of what's... you know, that area is now burning, so it's kind of, that's why it's been
they're losing even more space.
Yeah. But this story, I guess, is a sort of a little bit of a silver lining in the terrible stories of the fire, in that people have been seeing apparently wombats actually helping other animals and letting them kind of into their tunnels, which go underground to be able to escape the fire.
Yeah, there were a lot of things about wombats that I was... well, this one was one of those... they already knew... the article itself knew that the tweet that it was based on was a little bit of... there's a little bit of bunkus in a tweet that went out that said that the wombats were leading... animals to safety, but they said that that is very unlikely because they do not have good sight and do not really have shepherding skills in any way because they don't have, like, large families. Okay. You know, they're more solitary creatures. But they did say that the burrows are, like, hundreds of...
that is a big wombat.
Well,
I had no idea they were that big.
And
there's a picture that, well, I guess you people will be able to see from the...
yeah, we'll link the article, of course, as we normally do. And this wombat is of unusual size. Because I went to the Wikipedia, and I was wondering why, because there were some people that commented on the photo, like, either that person is 12 inches tall, or that wombat is entirely too large. You know, like, this wombat looks...
It looks like he shouldn't be able to carry it.
It looks like a small panda bear.
Yeah.
And
he may be a medium panda bear.
And Wikipedia is saying that they weigh in between 44 to 77 pounds. Like, they weighed the size of my dogs.
Unless they have, like, unless that wombat had bird bones or something.
But that wombat in this picture, it looks like, it looks as big as a person. Like, that thing's got to be 200 pounds.
All right, unless, could we be seeing a picture where it is, like, poking its nose at the camera somehow? Although, those paws look big, too.
Yeah, those paws are fucking enormous. I mean, I know that they said that they claw out, because they have...
It looks like they could do some serious clawing with those. Yeah.
They said that they have extensive burrows where... That they have, their burrows are so large that they said that there's a possibility that other animals just came to live in their burrows. And, like, they could not see them. Yeah. Like, the burrows are so extensive that other animals could come and stay in them and they would not run into each other. Like, that's huge. Like, yeah. That was pretty impressive. Like, I had no idea that wombats did that much. Yeah, 330 feet.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, that is huge.
I didn't know that much about wombats, really.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty interesting, too, that they ventilate their own, their tubes.
Like digging holes up to the surface every so often?
Yeah. Wow. Like, there are some smart buggers. Like, I definitely gained a larger appreciation for wombats. I feel like this is a very good case for why I should have liked wombats when I was a child. And, like, it definitely justifies liking wombats as a child, for surezies.
I mean, they kind of remind me of...
They're pretty badass.
Of, like, a groundhog, almost. But, obviously, very different.
not too much, I guess. I mean, I guess...
Aside from being a marsupial.
Yeah, I feel like marsupials and rodents are pretty similar, in my opinion. Because we have a groundhog that lives in our yard... And he's kind of cute and fuzzy like a wombat is. He doesn't have the big bulbous nose that that the wombats have. And they're not quite as furry. But they are kind of cute in my opinion.
Not as gigantic. Yeah, this other wombat is still looking pretty big to me.
Yeah, it's kind of... Well, the one that's in the hole doesn't look that big. Like, that looks like it's between 44 and 77 pounds. Oh, yeah, there's two of them that look huge. But this one that's in the video looks like it's 44 to 77 pounds. Like, that looks like a proper size wombat. These things, they're fucking mutants.
Yeah, there's something wrong there. Or it's like a forced perspective.
Because someone said
thing.
That I refuse to believe wombats are this big.
Yeah, I'm with them. I feel like there's something going on there. Like, that's... that thing's head is... I don't know. Three times as big as that guy's head?
I mean, it looks so enormous. Yeah, this is definitely one of those you definitely need to see this to believe it.
And then probably not even still believe it.
Yeah, like, because there are people that are looking at this going, I don't believe that this is a real wombat, and I don't blame them. Like, this is a mutant of a wombat. I mean, I used to call my boxer a mutant because he was as large as a boxer as you could get. But this is like, if he would have been a 150-pound boxer, like, if he would have been even, like, twice of his own size.
I mean,
because, look, that one looks much smaller. Like, just even this little zoology video that you just loaded.
Yeah, I mean, they still look like they could do some damage to you, but... look, there's a koala that went in there.
Yeah, but they're roughly the same size.
Right, yeah.
It's bigger than a koala, but it's still not like, it didn't look like five times the size of a koala bear.
No, it was not the size of like an adult brown bear or anything. as you would think looking at that picture.
I couldn't believe that these people aren't throwing out their backs holding up this thing. Like, I think that's what's almost more impressive, is they're making it look easy, like they're holding up, like, this thing's gotta at least be 150 pounds. Like, again, like, I didn't want to pick up Cayenne when he was, like, 90 pounds, because he was a fucking heavy load. Like, this thing's, it's got to be pushing a 150. At least, like, it's almost the size of her. Like, it's the size, like, its shoulders are at her shoulders, and its legs extended just below her waist level.
Yeah, it's entirely too big.
Yeah, that is no 77 pounds. Like, Cayenne was big, and I he would not have looked that large in my arms.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. There could be, I suppose, a super huge wombat out there somewhere.
Evidently there is. But
unless someone's having fun with Photoshop. I don't know.
That is not really the average, though, I would say. That is definitely not the norm.
From available evidence, I agree.
Wow. But that is pretty bonkers that they can get that big. That is like down in Circleville when they grow the giant pumpkins. Like, this is like the giant wombat version of a giant pumpkin.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, if there's any small cities out there and you're looking for something to kind of... you know, get on the map for. Think about a, wombat festival. Just saying. Who can raise the biggest wombat?
I say bring wombats to Columbus. Well, no. People are very against, and I agree with them, not bringing in non-native species at this point. Like, it seems to do nothing but wreck ecosystems.
Yeah, I guess that's a potential problem. I mean, maybe something at the wilds they could have, like, a wombat section.
Yeah, it'd be kind of hard. You'd need, like, some type of sonar just to be able to look underground to see where the wombat's hanging out.
You could build some kind of, like, special, you know, prison for the wombats, kind of like... you know, Magneto's jail cell, something that they couldn't escape from. It's like totally enclosed with dirt in there. I don't know. Overboard
ideas.
Yeah. these ideas are free. You know, if any kind of wildlife management or care places are listening, you can take these and run with it.
Oh, man.
So, Kevin, you were the provider of the Belltime beer this week.
Yes, I was. And I guess I'm not sure if I have had you try this one previously.
I don't believe so.
Because this now, for reasons that I am not completely familiar with, is my beer, evidently, according to my father-in-law. I have now, in consecutive years, gotten that as a celebration, as a Christmas six-pack.
Oh, did he make an official announcement, or is this just a de facto sort of a situation?
No, he made sure to mention that he got the same six-pack he got for us, both for myself and for my brother-in-law. Like, he pointed out, yeah, he bought us each two different six packs, different beers.
Okay.
And he made sure to point out that he bought the same six packs for us the previous year. So this was some type of a concerted effort to get the same beer in back-to-back years to each of us, you know, not just to me. So I mean,
do you think that
I'm not butthurt because he's doing this to me? I like the Dayton Beer Company. This maybe not one of my favorite beers from them.
I wonder where he got the idea that you liked this beer.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because it is not one that I sing the praises of. I have multiple times requested going down to Warped Wing, which is my favorite in Dayton. Although Toxic Brew Company is quite good, too. And really, Dayton Beer Company is good. I just don't happen to like that particular beer from their very wide and varied arsenal.
Yes, every brewer should have a somewhat wide arsenal, I would say.
Yeah, and it does. It's named Oregon Alley because that's the district that they are in downtown Dayton.
Oh, I was wondering about that.
The Oregon District.
Now that you say that, that does sound familiar to me.
Yeah, so I mean, they do have a nice connection. Like, I think it's a solid beer. Like, I don't think it's bad by any means, but it's also, not my favorite from them. Again.
Well, maybe you can hope that your father-in-law will have forgotten the beer for next Christmas. I don't know. Although, if past is prologue, I'm not sure that's going to happen.
No, I fully do not expect it to happen. But with that, we will wrap it up with the usual @DeFrango11, @Gozer33. The brand is @StuntGranny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
See you.